From the headquarters of Team Cowboy, coming to you all the way from Anderson, South Carolina, this is the Finance Cowboy Show, where we're going to teach you how you can create your dream life through the greatest asset in the world, real estate. I'm your host, Jaron Sustar, and I went from having zero properties in 2018 to a portfolio of over $5 million worth of real estate by 2021, and I am excited to be able to teach you all the lessons, tips, and tricks that I have learned throughout my journey while also introducing you to some of the greatest real estate minds in this entire world. So without further ado, let's get this party started. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the show today. Today, we're going to be talking about the top 10 things to not do with your money. But before we jump into it, I wanted to let you know, if you ever have wondered how to analyze real estate deals and you want to know how to do it like a pro and get your numbers right every time, which is obviously ridiculously important, because if you've ever heard the saying, you make money when you buy, it's very true. We've got to buy at the right price. And to be able to do that, we got to know how to analyze. What does our purchase price need to be? What's rehab going to cost us? What's the ARV? What's rental comps? How do we find all that? How do we know what our return should be at the end? All that good stuff. Well, cool thing is, I have made a course breaking all that down for you. You can go to analyzewithjaron.com, snag that. I put a lot of time into it. It's very in-depth and it's simplistic. It makes it easy for you to understand how to analyze deals. So go to analyzewithjaron.com. Check that out if you want to learn how to analyze deals. And if you've ever wondered what it's like to be in my mentorship, my real estate mentorship, I'm hosting a free Q&A this coming Wednesday. So go down to the show notes, click the link if you want to sign up for that. It's completely free. I'm hosting it on Zoom so I can see you. You can see me. You can ask any questions you have about my mentorship in real estate, and I would absolutely love to help you there. But I'm excited to talk about the 10 things to not do with your money today. I actually made a post on this on Instagram, and it did well, and it got me thinking, you know, why did it do well? And it's because I think people want to know what are the pitfalls they should watch out for. And so I want to break these down for you a little more in depth in today's episode and tell you what you need to watch out for and give you a little more reason behind the why. All right, so let's dive in together. Number one is, do not buy a timeshare. A timeshare is arguably one of the biggest scams out there. So I want to give you guys the definition that Google tells us. It's a collective model of vacation real estate in which multiple buyers own or lease allotments of usage, typically in 1 week increments, for the same property. Timeshare model is used for many different properties with units offered in vacation resorts, condominiums, apartments, and campgrounds. And so you're essentially sharing, you know, these different resorts and units with people, and they sell you on this great thing that you have access to all these different properties and it's going to be amazing. But what people get into and find out is, once you get into that contract, it's nearly impossible to get out. Now, there's been companies that come around that help people exit out of the timeshare business. But I know, for example, Dave Ramsey partnered with one, and him and that company had a falling out because that company wasn't doing what they're supposed to do, or they were having trouble not actually helping people. And so the best thing to do to avoid any issues with timeshare is to not buy them. Plus, the maintenance and the fees go up every year, making it less and less affordable. Guys, if you want a vacation somewhere, just rent out a spot or do like I've done and go buy you a place at the beach. Go buy you a place in the mountains as you progress in your investing journey. Do not do a timeshare. You're going to get yourself into something that you can't get out on. It's going to be a burden for yourself and for generations to come. And so let's stay away. The second thing, and this one is very controversial, is staying away from whole or universal life insurance. You'll see people, at least I do on social media, post about how it's a huge wealth generator for people and you can loan against it and all this good stuff. And maybe for a small minority of the population, it is a good idea. But for the majority, the masses, most of us, it's not a good idea, okay? So what happens when you do these types of insurance policies is you build up what's called a cash reserve. So you have your death benefit. It's like what you get or what your family gets or beneficiaries get if you die. Okay. You have that sits there, but then you can build up these cash values over time. So you pay enough into this whole life or universal life insurance policy, then you build up this cash value. Well, then you can use this cash value to loan against it down the road. Now it's almost nearly impossible. You can't like just access that cash. You think you'd build up this cash and then you can just have it. No, you can loan against it or do other creative things, but it's not the easiest to get to. And the fees on these particular types of policies are ridiculously higher than looking at something like a term life insurance policy. So the pitch is you build up this cash benefit, you're getting good returns on this cash, you can loan on this cash, but what they may not tell you is all that cash that you build up over time goes back to the company when you die. That is not passed on to your beneficiaries. So yeah, you could loan against it when you're alive. After you put enough money into actually be able to loan against it, it grows very slowly. And then you got tons of fees, so your returns are nominal. But the day you die, that cash benefit is completely gone. Your heirs don't get that. All they get is the death benefit. And so if you never put enough money to be able to loan from the cash benefit, you've just paid ridiculous amounts in fees only to have a death benefit where you could have gone and got term life insurance and the fees for the death benefit been ridiculously lower. You get higher coverage and now you're paying whatever, $40 a month to have this term life insurance instead of $250 or $300 a month. And you could have taken that extra money and go and invested it into assets such as real estate throughout the length of your life. So for me, I would rather take my capital, go buy assets and then leverage those assets to buy more assets. I don't want to buy a whole life policy where the fees are ridiculous, the returns are bad, I don't have access to the cash value, my family doesn't have access to the cash value, so I can just loan against it and go buy more assets? No. I'd rather do that with real estate, with things that everything that I own can be passed down so that my legacy stands strong and our estate stands strong over time. The third is do not own a primary home where your monthly payments are more than 25% of your take-home income. There are so many folks that spend 30, 40, 50% of their take-home income on their living expenses, and then they have to live poor everywhere else. We call it house poor. You do not want to live like that. You will miss out on so many other things in life, such as experiences, things you can do with your family, as well as being able to invest in other cash flowing appreciating assets, because you have all your capital tied up in this very illiquid vehicle, which is your primary home. While yes, it's going to build you wealth over time, that money's pretty much stuck there until you decide to move. And so let's be very careful with the houses we're buying to make sure that we're not spending too much money monthly to where we're not even going to get to enjoy life. Number four, and this is a big one, do not buy a brand new car until you're a millionaire. Listen to me. Cars go down in value. Plain and simple. They're not going up in value. If they do, it's for a very short time, and then they're going to start going back down in value again. They are a depreciating asset. So not only do you have this depreciating asset that's going to depreciate over time, but when you buy a new car, that thing goes down in value the instant that you drive it off the lot. So if you're a millionaire, multimillionaire, and you have money to play around with, sure, go buy your dream car brand new. But for the rest of you, do not do it. Sacrifice now. Drive the beater, drive the one with a bunch of miles, drive the one that gets the good gas mileage, the one that everybody laughs at, the one that isn't flashy, because you're still in your paying your due stage. And then once you get out of that, go reward yourself once you hit millionaire status with that new car. But don't put yourself in financial distress just so you can look cool at a red light, impress some people that you don't even like. Number five, do not co-sign on loans. If somebody is needing you to co-sign on a loan, they're not very loanable anyway. The only way that I could see this even being a potential possibility, if it was a child of yours who's just getting started in life, they've got a good job, you're well off, you're a multimillionaire, you have plenty of assets, plenty of capital, plenty of reserves, and they are getting started. You want to help them build credit. They don't have job experience to get a good loan, and you're going to give them that nudge to get started, but knowing that they have a good income, they have a good work ethic, and they're going to be able to pay it. I can see that argument. Outside of that, do not co-sign on loans. If somebody comes to you with a pity party, they need you for this particular loan, and they've shown this track record that they can't take care of their finances, they can't pay people back. If the bank's not going to lend to them, why would you? Does it make you a bad person because you're not cleaning up their mess for them by putting your neck on the line so that they can go do what they would want to do? You're not a bad person for that. Got to be careful, because the day you sign on that loan, you are now obligated to make sure that loan's paid back. So who do you want to be married to with debt? Number six is don't buy special deals that you can afford. Oh my gosh, how many of you guys know that person or those people? They may be family members or they may be close friends who are always talking about how they got a deal. Bro, they are literally getting scammed by the system and then bragging about it. What? Now, I'm not saying don't go buy things. If something's on sale that you've been wanting and you got cash and you're doing well for yourself, great. Go buy the grill, go buy the dress, go buy the makeup, the cologne, whatever it is. But to go and buy things just because there's a special deal going on and you don't have the capital or you didn't allocate it in your budget, or it's not a necessity and you're not in a place to be able to spend a lot of money right now, you didn't win. If TJ Maxx is selling something for $40 that they say they usually sell for $50, you didn't save $10, friend. You spent $40. Your bank account doesn't give you bonus points for saving $10 because TJ Maxx told you it was a discount. That $40 came out of your bank account and you're never getting it back. And so this is where budgeting comes into play and understanding where each of our pennies are going so that as we go through our weeks and months, when we see different things that are the shiny object syndrome that pull us in, we can look and have the discipline to say, you know what? I allocated for this. I'm going to take advantage of it. Or I didn't allocate for this right now. So although they're enticing me with a 10% off, I can't do it because that doesn't fall into my category of spending this week or this month, and I'm going to wait until I'm in a position to be able to do so. And that, my friends, is how you go from living middle class and broke to eventually breaking out of the rat race and building extreme wealth for yourself. It comes from those disciplines that you're able to build in over time and saying no to things that are really trying to get you to say yes. Are you struggling to manage your real estate business across multiple spreadsheets, tools that aren't connected, and a banking solution that's not built for your needs? You need a partner like Baselane. You need a simple yet powerful platform to manage your rental property business. Baselane is the number one banking platform built for real estate investors. It's business checking, online rent collection, bookkeeping, tax reporting, analytics, and more, all in one place. With Baselane, start automating your rental business finances and say goodbye to countless hours of busy work while taking control of your rental property finances to reduce expenses and increase your rental income. Join more than 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane to manage your rental property finance with confidence. Open an account in minutes. It's that fast. Head over to baselane.com/cowboy and sign up for the chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. That's baselane.com/cowboy, C-O-W-B-O-Y, and you're going to be entered into a raffle for the opportunity to win a $500 Amazon gift card. Go sign up today. Hey guys, when you're just starting out as a real estate investor, finding deals is the most important thing you can do. But unfortunately, it can also be your biggest hurdle. And let me tell you, it gets even harder when your business grows and you don't have a lot of time to look for properties and evaluate deals like you did on the front end. That's why you need to work with New Western. New Western has properties ready for rehab on their marketplace today. That means you skip the hours of research, driving neighborhoods, or calling agents. And instead, you get to start with a ready-made property. You can rehab and flip it, or rehab it and burr it and hold it as a rental. So why is New Western good at what they do? Well, they buy and sell a property every 13 minutes. They work exclusively with investors and value-add properties, and that's all they do. They're licensed agents, they have a network of lenders, and they'll help you grow your business. So if you're ready to jumpstart your next project, visit newwestern.com, join their marketplace, and access the largest private source of rehab properties in the nation. Number 7 is don't put the majority of your assets in crypto. Come on, guys. If you have no debt, you have an emergency fund, you got good income coming in, you've got real estate, you've got 401k, you got stocks, index funds, you're in a strong position financially, and you want to go put a small position of your portfolio in crypto, be my guest. I probably own one Bitcoin, a couple Ethereum, and maybe a couple other crap coins, but it is a very, very, very small amount compared to my overall net worth. Listen, you cannot play this get-rich-quick scheme. If you want to play it on a small scale and put a little bit of money like I have in and see what happens over time, fantastic. Go do it. But the majority of your portfolio needs to be distributed into secure assets that have a proven track record. Nobody knows what the future of Bitcoin is or what the future of crypto is. Does the outlook look good? Sure, but you can read a million articles and get a million different opinions on where the future is headed. We do not know. And then take it a step further, once the government regulates it, which the government will regulate it, we're talking about an entire different asset class. What was once the currency that's away from the dollar is now regulated by the same people who regulate the dollar. So you want to play around in it? Fine. But put the majority of your money in assets that have proven themselves for centuries. Number 8 is don't invest money you can't afford to lose. If you got a big expense coming up, if you have debt you have to pay, if you don't have an emergency fund in place, you don't need to be investing. It's okay. I was there. I started my journey for 5 years. 5 years, I had money that I needed to deploy into paying off debt and getting an emergency fund in place. It took me 5 years to pay off debt, 2013 to 2018. And so during that time, I wasn't investing. Was it hard for me not to invest when you're seeing and hearing everybody else invest? Of course it is. But you have to do what's right for you at the time. And so if you do not have the money to lose, don't invest it, because with every investment comes risk. Now, obviously, we want to mitigate risk as much as possible when we deploy our money to earn us income over time through assets, but there is no guarantee. And so if you're in a position to where you need capital, don't invest it. Keep it on hand. Cash is still king no matter what anybody says. And if you need it on hand to keep you from going bust, keep it on hand. Number nine is don't loan money to friends and family. I loaned money to a buddy of mine years ago. He was probably one of my best friends coming out of college to help him get through this schooling he was going through. He makes a very high income now after the schooling and is ridiculous. If I told you how much he made, you guys would, your mind would be blown. So he does very well for himself. So I help him get through school and he gets this job and, you know, 6 months go by and 8 months, 10 months, 12 months. And I just kind of let it slide, and I look, and he had just bought a boat, and then he had bought something else, and I'm like, dang, I didn't even get my $2,500 back. I just gave him $2,500. I didn't even charge him interest. I was like, hey, bro, just take my money. I don't want any interest on it. Use it to get through school, and then whenever you get your job, you're stable, just send me $2,500 check back. Well, 2 years went by, 3 years went by, 4 years went by, 5 years went by. I don't know how many years it is now. And I've never received the $2,500. And I would be lying if I said it didn't affect our friendship, because I am at now at a point of like, if I can't trust somebody to repay, do I really need to be friends with them? And so when you allow money and debt to come into friendships, you're opening up a door that could lead to problems in the future. This is coming from firsthand experience from myself. And so there are friends of yours who can't handle money. I'm not saying this friend of mine can't. I'm just saying some of you guys may have friends who can't handle money, but they still could be really good friends to you and offer value to your life in other ways, and you can offer value to their lives, and y'all been buddies for your whole life, and they just suck at money. It doesn't mean you don't need to be buddies. But if you allow money to come into that relationship and one of you can't handle it, then it's going to cause friction at some point. And so I encourage you to stay away from it. Same with family. If you're going to do it, okay, if you're going to do it, it needs to be set up just like you would set an agreement up with anybody else. So there are friends of mine that I own real estate with that loan to me. We own properties together, but everything is done legally. We have operating agreements that spell out exactly everybody's role, what happens if we fail our role, who owes what, who owns what, and we both shake hands, and it's an operating agreement that we know that this could go south, and we both are saying we're okay with this risk. And if it does go south, we made this decision ourselves as big boys, and we're not going to let it affect our friendship. Now, could it still? It could, but we have learned to have those conversations. Even though we both, like, we've done these things over and over again, we still say it because we want to make sure that we protect the friendship if something were to happen financially. So if you have those mature friends who are thinking like you are from an asset perspective, from an investing perspective, they have a larger net worth, you're growing your net worth, and you guys want to do something together, and you can come to an agreement, do everything legally, and shake hands and say, look, I understand the risk. We're boys no matter what happens. Then, you know, be my guest. I would be two-faced if I said that I don't do that, because there are people I do that with. But there are others that you need to look and say, if I loan this person money, it's going to cause a problem. And so I'm not saying you don't help them, but if you have anybody in your friend group or family group like that, just give them money. Give them, help them. Don't loan them. Give them money and let it stay like that. Don't expect anything in return. The Bible talks about that, and you're going to be able to preserve that friendship. And then number 10, and finally, it's just some good sound advice. If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Listen, here I am still young, so I'm not some Gandhi over here. But in my short 32 years of living and the business deals I've done, here is one thing I've learned. Anything worth having in life is hard and takes work. Never forget it. Anything worth having in life is very hard and takes a lot of work. And so if something is presented to you that is saying, I'm going to be able to get you all the way to here with this amount of work or with no work at all, they're full of crap. You have to put in the work to get the outcomes that you desire. And there's no such thing as a shortcut. There's no such thing as get rich quick schemes. The only person who's getting rich off of the get rich quick schemes, try to say that fast 10 times in a row, is the people who are promoting the get rich quick schemes. Never forget it. You'll protect yourself and you won't end up losing money to some bonehead or some bonehead company selling you a pipe dream. So these are my top 10 do not do with your money list. I would love to hear any that you think that I left off or any that maybe you don't agree with or those that you do agree with. So if you're watching on YouTube, go down and let me know in the comments. If you're listening on podcast, shoot me a DM or hop over to YouTube and leave me a comment. And I would love to ask you guys to like, subscribe to my channels. And then also, if you would give this a rating, if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, if you would rate it 5 stars and leave a review, I'd be super grateful. This helps us get the message out to as many people as possible and try to change as many people's lives through good money habits and real estate. So I want to thank you all for listening to the show today, and I'll see you next week.